morning. I greet you in Christ's name this morning. I invite you to turn to the book of 1 John this morning. We're shifting our gears a little bit from the book of James that I've been preaching in. And we're going to be looking at John for the next little bit. There's a lot of overlap with some of the content here in John with some previous messages I've preached in James. So we'll be kind of touch and go in the book. But we'll be looking at the first chapter this morning. The main of our sermon will be 5 through 10, but we'll read the first 5 verses as well. John opens his book by expressing the things that he has experienced in Christ. And he has this eagerness to share the gospel with us that we may experience the same fellowship that he had with Christ. In the verse 4, he says that our joy may be complete. During this time, there was a teaching known as Gnosticism. And this Gnosticism is a Greek word to know. So there was this was a problem in the early church. There was this desire for people to have deeper truth and experiences. And this was only in a spiritual form. It was only the spirit that mattered. And so the body was of no importance. So these people were very hedonistic in their actions. It was the physical aspect was not important. You just did whatever you wanted. It was the spirit that lived in you that mattered, and that was their focus. So John is speaking out against this false belief, this false teaching, and we see this in different aspects. One of the things he first starts out with is that which we have seen and heard and touched. I've had firsthand experience with Christ. I've seen him. I've heard him. And this physical aspect of our relationship, or Christ coming to earth and dwelling among us. He also combats against this, the Gnostics, and the confession of sin we see in verse 9, and the keeping of his commandments in chapter 2, verse 3. So that's a little bit of an intro of the book. This is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, and we see a lot of that, as Margaret shared, light. Light is spoken of a lot in John and his writings. So we see similarities in both of these books. With that, let's read the text. We're going to start at 1 John 1, verse 1, and we will read through verse 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and which was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things to you that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. This is a firsthand message from the man who was with Christ, who walked with Christ, who had interaction with Christ. And into verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. For God to have darkness is an impossibility. Light and darkness cannot coexist in God. This would exclude us from him because of our sinful nature. we were born into a sinful nature, and as Rob spoke a couple Sundays ago about a ladder, we need an intercessor because of this. We cannot, our darkness cannot allow us to dwell with God, but Christ is that ladder. Christ is that advocate. He is that intercessor that allows us to have a relationship with God. Our sin has been covered by the blood of Christ, which allows us to fellowship with God. In this sermon, I'm going to address what walking in darkness looks like, how to be delivered from that darkness, and then as a new creature, what it looks like to walk in light. So starting up with walking in darkness. Those who dwell in darkness are lost and do not know where they are going. If you look across the page there in chapter 2, verse 11, he does not know where he is going because darkness has blinded his eyes. There is a deception that takes place when Christians walk in darkness. John speaks of this phony Christian in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Here is someone who claims to be a Christian while walking in darkness, while walking and living in sin. If we walk in darkness over time, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This person in verse 6 is self-deceived. They only want something in return from God. Matthew 7:21 speaks of a false Christian. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Here in Matthew, we see these so-called Christians doing good works, but it was all a facade. Inwardly, they were living for themselves. There will be many people who are living for themselves and do acts of good so they can check off their good deed for the day and keep on living a selfish life. These Christians are deceived about their own ministry. Self-deceived. John speaks of deception in verse 10 as well. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out a liar and his word is not in us. Whoever says he is without sin is basically claiming to be God. If we say we have not sinned, his word is not in us, because if his word was in us, we would know who we truly are, sinners. Spurgeon speaks on this verse and puts it pretty good. Our deceitful hearts reveal an almost satanic shrewdness in self-deception. If you say you have no sin, you have achieved a fearful success. You have put out your own eyes and perverted your own reason. Only Christ is without sin. It is the one who acknowledges their sin and is grieved by it that receives the light of life. When I think of sin and darkness, I have to think of a black hole. A black hole in the universe is a star that has collapsed. This is all theoretical from the best scientists can know, but apparently a star is a burning gas, or it has some type of fuel that keeps it burning bright. And after that fuel is out, the star implodes. And when that happens, there's such a strong gravitational pull that no light can escape it. That's why it's a black hole. And then there's supermassive black holes that are so large that they consume other black holes and other planets. And it's just this massive gravitational pull that's just sucking everything in. And it's so strong that light itself cannot escape it. And I have to think of darkness. I have to think of sin. If you're not careful, it consumes you, and no light can penetrate you at that point. No light comes out from you because you've been consumed in darkness. You have been given over to your desires. Romans 1:28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Those who are in deep darkness are given in to their desires. And I would say that their conscience is seared. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in you if you have darkness within you. 2 Corinthians 6:14, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? There is no fellowship. There is no partnership. We need to be careful how we who we fellowship with. Bad company corrupts good character. And people don't just fall into darkness. They slide into darkness. You hear a lot of people say, oh, they fell into sin. No, they slid into sin. It's a gradual letting your guard down. It's gradually letting darkness to creep into your life. It happens over time. Generally, it doesn't happen suddenly. It's a slow progression or degression of letting sin in your life, letting darkness into your life. There's a difference between living in sin and sinning as well. When we as Christians sin, our conscience bothers us. If we are a true Christian and we sin against another brother or against another person, we cannot get it out of our head. It's constantly affecting us. We don't eat. We don't sleep. That's a good thing, and be thankful for that. A healthy conscience is a good thing. But those who live in sin are calloused to their sin. They sit there like a stone, like nothing ever happened, and they keep on sinning because their conscience allows it. That is a very, very dangerous place to be. Are you walking in darkness? If so, are you tired of that life you're living in? Do you need a savior to deliver you from that sin? Christ offers us a way out. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say he cleanses us from some of our unrighteousness or some of our sin. He cleanses us from all of our sin. There is no sin that we can commit that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. You hear a lot of times of people that are living in sin, and you challenge them about it. A lot of times in prison ministry, you'll hear this, like, God will never forgive me for what I did. And that's set in their mind that I committed a sin that is so great that God will not forgive me, and they stop there. They don't go any farther. But that is Satan putting doubt in that person's mind. There is no sin we can commit that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse us from. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And not only are we saved, but we're also given an inheritance. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Okay, so we're born in darkness. We are delivered from it. So what does it mean then to walk in the light? What does it mean to live a new life in Christ? Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with other believers. And we have that fellowship because we have something in common. We are rooted in Christ. We have common ground. And although we have differences within the fellowship, we have sonship in Christ. When we walk in the light, we keep his commandments. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says we abide in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. We are walking in the light when we obey God's commandment. We are walking in the light when we walk as Christ walked. And how do we know how he walked? We read his word. When we walk in the light, we expose that light to darkness. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We share the gospel to those in darkness. We fulfill the Great Commission. Light will radiate from our transformed life. We are a new creation. Our life has totally been transformed. We no longer desire the pleasures of the old life, and those dark places in our life are filled with the life of light. And as Christians, we immerse ourselves in the Word, not allowing darkness to take a foothold. The closer you walk with God, the light of truth exposes sin in your life. If you're not aware of the sin in your life, you're most likely miles away from God. He who walks in the light not only professes to be a follower of Christ, he lives like it. It doesn't gain him salvation, but it reveals the salvation that has took place in his own life. The real Christ is living within him. So how long can you survive without this light? When I was, I was probably 10 or 11, me and one of my buddies went to the cave there on the Harry Lee's farm there on Round Hill. There's a cave. Of course, like any smart person, we didn't tell anybody where we were going. So we trudged up there, and this cave goes down. It also goes up, but it goes down, I want to say 50 feet or more. It goes way down into the belly of the earth. And the only flashlight I had was a million candle power spotlight. And this wasn't one of those LED jobs that'll last, like it's a halogen bulb and probably hot enough to raise the temperature in that cave while we were in there. But we descended into the belly of the earth with this thing, two of us, and we get to the bottom and we're getting ready to turn around and go back up. We see this light starting to dim. Now, mind, nobody knows we're in this cave. I think we hold the record for coming up out of the bottom of that cave. We come out of there at a high rate of speed, and the faster we went, the dimmer the light got, and we were scrambling. And just as we were getting, the light was starting to go dim, we saw a light at the top, and we started following the light. Had that light went out, we'd have been crawling out of there a month of Sundays trying to find our way out of there. But I can think of smarter things I've done in my life. That definitely wasn't at the top of my list. But without the light of truth in your life, you're lost. To us, that light was precious. That life meant spending days in a dark, dungy cave trying to feel our way out of there. How precious is God's word to you? How precious is the light of life in your life? Do you treasure it? When we stop reading God's word, his life in our life starts to dim. And what is the absence of light? It's darkness. If the light of God is going out of your life, darkness fills its place. Light is vital to spiritual life. If we follow Christ and remain true to him and his word, we don't have to worry about the batteries in our light going out. Christ is light. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is our eternal light. Not only is he our light here on earth, he will be our light forevermore. Revelation speaks of the light of heaven in 22:5. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. As a Christian, are you claiming to walk in the light? Are you walking the straight and narrow that you claim to be? Do you desire fellowship with him? Do you live a redeemed life, or do you just portray it on the outside? John 3:19 through 21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. God desires us to walk in the light. When we immerse ourselves in the Word, there is no room for darkness within us. Darkness is something that can be easily hidden from our spouse, our children, our employers, but you cannot hide it from God. If we maintain a relationship with him through the prayer and the reading of his word, darkness has no room to dwell in us because we filled it with his Holy Spirit. So let us go from here shining the light of Christ in every aspect of our lives. Let us walk in the light as he is in the light. In closing, John 8:12, again Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's have a song.